Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The New Road to Serfdom, A Letter of Warning to America, is a political and historical essay by Daniel Hannan, a British conservative and former member of the European Parliament. Written as a warning to American readers, the book argues that the United States risks following Europe toward larger government, heavier regulation, and weaker constitutional and economic freedoms. Hannan adapts the spirit of Friedrich Hayek's The Road to Serfdom to a contemporary setting, shifting the focus from outright socialism to what he sees as a more gradual expansion of state control through bureaucracy, welfare systems, and supranational governance. The book is not a neutral academic study. It is a forceful intervention in debates about liberty, federalism, and the direction of modern democracy. Its purpose is to persuade readers that America's historical institutions and civic habits remain essential safeguards against political centralization and dependence on the state. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Hayek's warning updated for an age of regulation and administrative power. One of the book's central moves is to update Friedrich Hayek's classic warning about socialism for a post-Cold War and post-New Deal environment. Hannan does not argue mainly that Western democracies are on the verge of traditional state ownership of industry. Instead, he presents a more modern threat: the steady growth of regulation, bailouts, public services, and policy management by unelected administrators. In this view, freedom can erode even when elections continue to exist, because formal democracy may coexist with an ever larger administrative state. The argument is important because it changes the debate from ideology in the abstract to the actual mechanisms by which governments gain leverage over daily life. Hannan suggests that this form of soft centralization is more persuasive politically because it often arrives through incremental reforms rather than dramatic ideological revolutions. The book therefore reframes the classic serfdom warning as a critique of managerial politics, where power shifts away from local accountability and toward institutions that are harder for citizens to influence. Secondly, why American federalism matters as a barrier to political centralization. Hannan gives special importance to federalism because he sees decentralized government as one of the main institutional protections against overreach. In the book, the American constitutional structure is not treated as a technical arrangement, but as a practical defense of liberty. By distributing authority among states, localities, and national institutions, federalism creates friction that slows down the concentration of power. Hannan contrasts this with more centralized European models, which he believes tend to make political correction harder once authority has accumulated at the center. This argument is not simply nostalgic. It is strategic. If power is divided, citizens have more chances to resist bad policy, and governments are less able to impose uniform solutions on a diverse society. The book also links federalism to public choice concerns, suggesting that the larger and more centralized the system becomes, the more difficult it is to hold decision-makers accountable. For Hannan, preserving federalism is not a constitutional detail, but a precondition for keeping government limited, responsive, and resistant to bureaucratic drift. Thirdly, the Anglosphere as a cultural inheritance of liberty and limited government. A major theme of the book is the claim that liberty in America grew out of a broader Anglo-American political tradition, not merely from abstract universal principles. Hannan emphasizes inherited institutions, habits of self-government, and legal norms that developed in Britain and were carried into the United States. This matters because he argues that freedom is sustained not only by written constitutions, but also by political culture expectations about authority, civic responsibility, and the legitimacy of state power. The book presents the Anglosphere as a community of related political ideas, including common law reasoning, representative government, and skepticism towards centralized planning. Hannan uses this historical framing to argue that America should see its own exceptionalism less as a myth and more as a consequence of institutional continuity. In practical terms, this approach allows him to claim that Europe's more centralized social democracies are not the natural endpoint of modernity, but one branch of political development among several. The result is a defense of Anglo-American liberty as a living inheritance that must be consciously preserved rather than assumed to survive automatically. Fourthly, a critique of Europeanization in healthcare, welfare, and governance, the book repeatedly warns against what Hannan calls the Europeanization of American policy. This is not limited to one issue area. It includes healthcare, welfare, labor regulation, environmental policy, foreign policy, and the broader relationship between citizens and government. Hannan's concern is that once policy is imported in one sector, it often creates pressure for further centralization elsewhere, because complex programs require more bureaucratic coordination and more political authority at the top. He treats Europe as an example of how generous social systems can become structurally difficult to reform. especially when economic pressures expose the costs of permanent dependency and rigid administration. The argument is both economic and political. Large public systems may promise security, but they can also reduce flexibility, weaken incentives, and make democratic change harder. Hanen is especially skeptical of the idea that greater state management automatically produces social solidarity or fairness. Instead, he suggests that it may produce complacency, slower growth, and more distance between rulers and the ruled. The critique is therefore not anti-social concern as such, but anti-centralization in the name of social concern. Lastly, a polemical but historically grounded defense of American exceptionalism, The New Road to Serfdom is written as a warning letter, so its style is deliberately polemical. But its persuasion depends on historical argument rather than simple rhetoric. Hanen tries to show that Americans have reasons to distrust political solutions that would be more acceptable in Europe, because the United States was built on different constitutional and civic assumptions. He also argues that American confidence in national pride, religious participation, and civic associations can support liberty by preventing the state from becoming the sole source of social meaning and support. This is where the book becomes more than an economic tract. It treats culture, institutions, and political identity as mutually reinforcing. At the same time, the book's force comes from its timing. It speaks to debates about government expansion in the early 21st century and uses the language of warning, not detached analysis. That gives it a distinctive place in conservative and libertarian literature. Readers get a compact ideological case for limited government, but they also get an account of why institutions matter psychologically and culturally, not just legally. In conclusion, The New Road to Serfdom will be most useful to readers interested in political economy, constitutional design, conservative thought, libertarian arguments, and the history of Anglo-American institutions. It is especially relevant for anyone trying to understand critiques of welfare state expansion, regulatory government, and the transfer of authority from elected bodies to administrative structures. The book offers practical value by clarifying how large governments can expand gradually and how seemingly technical policy choices can reshape accountability and liberty over time. It also offers intellectual value as a contemporary restatement of classical liberal concerns, updated for debates about European integration, federalism, and the modern administrative state. What makes it stand out among similar books is its transatlantic perspective. Hanen writes as a European observer defending America's constitutional inheritance, which gives the argument an outsider's urgency and a comparative frame. Rather than simply repeating anti-government talking points, the book connects institutions, culture, and political memory into one warning about how free societies can lose their distinctiveness. Readers who want a short, forceful, historically aware defense of limited government will find it more distinctive than a standard policy polemic. If you would like to support Daniel Hanen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.